Welcome to the Living Faith Chapel audio podcast. This sermon was presented on Sunday, September 10th, 2006. Here is Dan Glass.
When Pastor Dan asked me to share today, the Lord started giving me some verses. And it's an interesting thing when you look at God's Word, because it's alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, as I share the verses that the Lord brought to my mind, anticipate Him speaking to you. He might have a different message for you than the person beside you, but that's okay. It's God's Word, it's alive, and He's going to be speaking through it. I want to talk a little bit about love, life, and liberty. So, how do people in North Battleford know that you're a Christian? You have a cross that you wear around your neck? Or how about a neon t-shirt? Or how about a fish symbol on your car? John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." You see and you feel the love. Now, more than one person has commented on the love they received from the Living Faith family. So I'm not lecturing you and telling you you better start loving people, but I'm saying that God is pleased that you are loving, and He will bless you for it. You're good at loving others, but are you good at provoking others? Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Now, in our own strength, we're pretty good at provoking people to other things that wouldn't be described as love and good works. But it's only possible if we allow God to live through us. And we notice in that verse that we have to consider one another. It means to observe fully. And that takes time to be with them and to get to know them. And it doesn't just happen Sunday mornings. And you notice, too, that it's unto love and good works, not just love. Just like James is teaching on faith and good works, he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and fed," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So show me your love, and I'll show you mine by what I do, by my works. Otherwise, it's just empty words. But maybe you say, "Well, I'm operating in love. It's the other guy. He's the one that's not responding." And 2 Corinthians 9:2 tells us how we can get them to respond. It says, "Your zeal has provoked very many." In that case, it was their enthusiastic response to giving to a need that had encouraged others to give. And Philippians 2:3 tells us the attitude that we must have toward those we are loving. And it says, "Esteem others better than yourself." So if you're helping somebody and you consider that they're better than you are, it really keeps it in perspective. You aren't going to get a holier-than-thou attitude or a pity or anything like that. Now, esteeming others better than yourself is good and fine if the people are good and fine. But what if they aren't the beautiful people? Where do you get the power to love these people? Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And we've learned from our series on the Holy Spirit that we're to keep on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And today we're talking about the Holy Spirit filling us and empowering us to love people. And if you'd like to turn to John 14. There's some interesting verses here in John 14. I'll just skip around a little bit, starting with verse 8, talking about God filling us with love to love people. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And why do you say then, show us the Father? Jesus and the Father. 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit will be in us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus will be in us. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So the Father and Jesus will be in us. So follow the logic. Since God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one God, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with all of God. And God is love. Therefore, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with God's love. And it's God's love flowing through us to other people. And all our actions and reactions will be powered by his love. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:16. So love is through the Holy Spirit. And how about life? The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Dead people aren't much good at loving. Before we can be filled with God's love, we must be filled with his life. Now, most adults in North Battleford will have some idea about Adam and Eve and the snake and the apple and how sin started and they messed everything up. And we've been sinning and messing it up ever since. But I'm afraid a growing number of children in North Battleford and elsewhere have no idea about sin and salvation. Since we're into this grandparenting thing, you're going to have one grandchildren illustration today. And so you ask your grandchildren, how tall are you? And they say, so tall, tiptoes. And you say, how much do you love grandpa or grandma? And they say, I love you so much. And isn't that a picture of Jesus on the cross? God loving us so much. And I don't want to get you in trouble now. Don't want to embarrass you, put you on the spot. But if you'd like to do an illustration of this, you just put your arms around the person next to you, if you know them really well, and you tell them how much God loves them. That's how much God loves them. So much. Just think of how much God loves you. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe. Just take a deep breath with me, and then as you let it out, say, thank you, Lord. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Isn't that something? Romans 3:23 and 6:23, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So we're all on death row. We're looking out through the bars. But the verse goes on. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus paid our death sentence on the cross, and now he's walking up and down in front of the cells with the pardons. And he says, would you like a pardon? I've paid for it. It's yours. You have to accept it. And when we do, we're born again. Our new life in Christ starts. And Ephesians 2:1-10, the first few verses talk about our life of sin, and then verse 4 says, but God. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, he's quickened and made us alive in Christ. And we're together in Christ. Now, Ephesians 2:8-9 are the most familiar verses. Probably a lot of you have them memorized. I'd like to read them, but you watch for two things while I'm reading. Watch in verse 10 where it says, it's for unto good works. We're saved unto good works to serve others. And watch in verse 9 where it says, we're not saved by good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the 12-month theme for our Sunday school this year is freedom in Christ. And last year, Doug Ferguson did a course, a 12-week course, on steps to freedom. And so I'm not going to pretend to cover the whole subject in 12 minutes. But if the Holy Spirit can just whet our appetites a little today, if the Holy Spirit can just make us thirsty to want more. The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I've heard people tell of how old things passed away just the moment they were saved. One example, somebody said, I had a filthy mouth. When I was saved, the Lord just cleaned up my vocabulary. Another one I heard was, I was a total drunk. And since I've saved, I've never touched a drop. Dramatic changes that the Lord brought to people. And I'm just wondering if anyone here today has had a similar experience. When you were saved, the Lord just took something away. Just like that, and you had freedom in that area. Anybody here today? Just wave at me. Yeah. Quite a few examples. And this isn't the time when you're supposed to close your eyes and not look around. You're supposed to look around and see. And it kind of gives you encouragement, kind of gives you hope. The Lord has done it for them, and He can do it for me. Now, how about some of the others that didn't put up your hands? The Lord has given you freedom, but it didn't just happen all at once. It took a little bit longer. And you saw the Lord at work in your life and bringing you victory and bringing you freedom. Anybody had that experience? It took a little bit longer. Yeah, just a few more people. And so I think that can give a person encouragement too. Because if we're struggling with something, we know that don't give up right away just because it wasn't instantaneous. But the Lord is there to help and to give that freedom that we want, that He wants. Jesus said in John 8, 34 and 36, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And this is a fact of the new life, freedom from the slavery of sin. If the immediate dramatic experience wasn't yours, and it's taking a bit longer, you know what the devil will do? He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to condemn us. He'll say, you're no good. You're a loser. You're hooked for life. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. You just may as well end it all, like we heard today. The devil's job is just doing his job. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're also told that he's a liar and he's the father of lies. So when you feel like a loser, remember it's the devil, the liar of all liars, talking. And you, when you remember that there's hope, it's the Holy Spirit pointing you to Jesus. And we need to be reminded that 1 John 1:9 was written to believers, to Christians, people who were new creatures, but they weren't perfect. And I will read a few verses there if you'd like to too. I have a bookmark so I can beat you. 1 John 1:4-9. Verse 4 tells us the purpose for him writing it, that your joy might be full. That's what God wants for us. He wants it for you today, that your joy might be full. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So sin robs us of joy, and we have to nip it in the bud. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." It's not just sins that hurt other people that God's worried about, but he's also worried about anything that harms your body, his temple. And Jesus puts the spotlight on and contrasts the devil and himself in John 10:10. He says, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That your joy might be full, and that you might have a more abundant life." We've learned from our series on the Holy Spirit that repentance goes before filling. And here we see that confession also goes before abundance and joy. If you hurt God's temple, your body, God will destroy your body, 1 Corinthians 3. If we confess our sin, our joy will be full. The opposite. Now, since Jesus used to use illustrations about sheep, you'll probably forgive a rancher if he uses illustrations about cattle. So, hang on. We like to use rotational grazing. And we like to move our cattle around so they don't overgraze one area. And sometimes we have electric fences to divide the pastures up. And so once the grass gets trimmed real nice on the one side, we have the abundant life or the abundant grass on the other side. And so it's time to shut off the power, open the fence up, and get the cows onto the tall grass. But you know, you do that, and they'll walk up to the line, and they won't cross over. You've heard that expression, once burned, twice shy. It takes a bit of coaxing to tell them that the fence is shut off and it's okay, now you can go on to the abundant. Jesus sets us free, shuts off the devil's electric fence. Sometimes it takes us a little while to step over and get into the abundant Christian life. Now, anyone who's been through the AA program will tell you the importance of other people in their journey to freedom. And not only will God fill you with his Holy Spirit, not only will he fill you with his power, but he also brings brothers and sisters alongside to help walk with you in that journey to freedom. Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his partner. An illustration of this would be the buddy system that maybe you used when you were first learning to swim. They teamed you up with somebody so that if you went under too long, the other guy would pull you up. And everyone needs others. And I'm just wondering if the Holy Spirit has been just sparking a little interest in you, giving you a little glimpse of how good it would be to be free. Has the Lord brought maybe one area or item just to your mind, given you a thought? Some problem or habit or sin? What's holding you back from enjoying a life more abundant that Jesus promised? You know, God calls the Bible a mirror. And he said that some people look in the mirror, and then they walk away and they forget that they hadn't washed or whatever. And to help us not forget what the Lord is encouraging us in, how would you like to take your visitor card and just write today's date, maybe on the back or somewhere, and the one word that the Lord is bringing to your mind. And then tear yourself off a little piece of that visitor card. Oh, they won't mind if you tear up their visitor card. And then put it on your mirror at home or somewhere, maybe in your car or wherever, where you'll see it every day so that you can't be accused of looking in the mirror of God's Word and then forgetting. Also leave room on there for the date when the Lord answers your prayer, when you experience that freedom. It will be a reminder. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us in Hebrews 12:1. So it's not just sin that hinders us. It could be just a weight. Not a sin that harms our body or that harms someone else, but it's a hindrance to the abundant life. It's a hindrance for running the race. If anything like that comes to your mind, write that on your card. Maybe it's a health issue that's holding you back. Write that on your card. Maybe it's a financial problem. We've got a big God. Make sure that we tap in. Maybe it's a past hurt or problem, a problem with another person. Make sure you put that on your card. Then put it somewhere where you'll be reminded that the Lord is at work. And the Lord has a good plan. Remember? He loved you so much, remember? That's how much He loves you. And He wants the very best for you.
We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you have any questions or comments about this week's sermon or about our church in general, please feel free to surf over to www.livingfaithchapel.ca, and there you will find contact information and general information about our church. You are always welcome at the chapel.